Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, we root on players. You know, it's just the kind of American culture. You know, kick that ball, push that thing, you know, all these different things that are we're used to. But the reality is in the church, in the kingdom of God, we're all called to be players in this awesome story that our Creator is telling that started in the beginning, the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And we're part of it. We have a role to play. Although it's short, described by James, considered a vapor, it's a part to play. Mm-hmm. Now, there is something I want to encourage you that if, in fact, you don't know this, you probably have felt trapped to criticize others how they're playing their part. But when you realize, wait a minute, I have a script here. I'm supposed to be doing something. Yeah, and it's amazing how empathetic we can be towards, you know, our brothers and sisters when we find out we're in this drama. I'm supposed to be doing something. And then I mean, even if your brother limps, you know, even if your sister, you know, has a few issues, and brothers and sisters do, right? Mm-hmm. We all do. That we want to say, you know what? They're fighting with me. You know, there's nothing more precious than somebody that says, you know what? You know, and I'd rather somebody says, when you're picking somebody who's going to fight on your team, for example, and you're picking who's going to go out and do the patrol, for example, and you look at one guy and his uniform is all perfect and it's got all these, you know, iron creases and perfect medals and, you know, the color is still there in the uniform. He's got some starched creases down his pants leg. His boots are shining. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other guy. His hair is just, you know, all messed up, which is today's style, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Speaking of that, I saw me in a segment of VFN TV.
I'm glad I grew up in that.
I'm like, did you ever think to mention that my hair looked like a basket case? Y'all thought I was probably trying to style or something for this generation. That's not my style. It looked like a basket of wheat on my head. Anyway, so, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And so the
No problem.
His hair is always perfect.
It is.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Never moves,
you know. Even when the air conditioner in his limousine is blowing. And so you see this other guy, he's disheveled, you know, that his hair is messed up. And they're waiting to see who you're going to pick to go fight with you. And this other guy with a neat, clean uniform is talking about how well he did. You know, he made a 4.0 in his tests and boot camp. And his gun's all shiny and stuff. But this other guy's got rips and tears on his uniform. And his name tag is kind of half ripped off, so you really can't tell what his name is. He's roughed up. You know, his hands are roughed up. He's just looks, you know, beard kind of growing a little bit. And everybody's leaning forward. Well, most of America presently has been picking this nice, neat-looking dude.
Yeah.
But you understand, if you're going to fight, you know, you're not looking at the outside. You're looking at the inside. So it's not the size of the tiger in the fight. It's the size of the fight that's in the tiger.
That's right.
And when you're talking about choosing people who you want to, you know, work with and fight with, you know, you want to you're going to choose that guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to choose the guy on the right. You know why? Because he's fought. He's not worried about what he looks like on the outside. He's ready to fight the battle. Mm-hmm. He's concerned. There's a fight in his heart, you know. And if pretty much, you know, the Pharisees were worried about the outside of the cup. And you can be with the outside of the cup crew, or you could be with the inside of the cup crew. Think about the people that are thinking about the inside of the cup. They're so focused on the inside of the cup. Sometimes the outside's catching up, mm-hmm. or the outside has a lot of scars in it. But if you go deep into their life, you think, this dude loves God. Despite all of his mistakes, mm-hmm. all of his faults, despite him being a Saints fan, you know, he loves God.
Yeah.
That's so precious, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's so precious. And so you say, I want that guy. Mm. And everybody looks, well, why would you want that guy? I says, that guy's never fault, nothing. You know, I don't trust anybody don't well. Mm. You know, nobody's hadn't been through something. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know the ones that have been through something because they're just all like, you know, they're the ones when the lady was caught in adultery and they threw her, not him, whoever him was out there. They didn't bring him in. And they brought her and they threw her at the feet of Jesus. They threw her at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine that? That would be us. And so, and you can imagine you're on the ground, you're at Jesus's feet, you're at God's feet, Emmanuel's feet. You have all these people who are religious around you, and you're not even looking up because you're thinking, this is not going to be good. Mm-hmm. Because you were in sin.
Right.
You're in sin.
Right.
And they're talking about stoning you. And then they look at Emmanuel. They look at Jesus, the Son of God. And they say, well, doesn't the law say, didn't it say in Leviticus chapter, doesn't it say in Revelation, you know, it's like whipping the word on you, like beating you with the sword instead of helping you, cutting things off your life, they're cutting you.
Right.
To stone her. I mean, that's like tough. That's tough, isn't it?
I would think so.
I mean, you've been a Saints fan for a long time, so you can kind of relate to what some of that's like, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I remember your paperback over your head.
It hangs on my wall.
Yeah, right. And that's just, I mean, think about it. I mean, just pause for a moment and think about it. You're at the feet of God. Jesus has come to make the Father known. The people who said they're for God are not for you, and they're using accurate scripture against you. And Jesus didn't call him a liar. And so you're thinking, any time now you can say these guys are wrong. Because they weren't wrong in regards to saying the law says that she's to be stoned.
Right.
But then Jesus said this. He said this. He said, he that's without sin, you exercise the law towards her. You set yourself as judge over her. You execute this. You sit on the bench, you take your gavel, you slam it down, and you start stoning her. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, if you're her, you're going like, dude, these guys are really going to think they didn't sin or nothing. They're going to hit me with a stone. It's going to hurt. And wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many people's like, you're throwing stones, and you're like, Are you really? Are you seriously sitting here stoning somebody? Don't you know who we are? You can't do that. It's embarrassing. And so she waits, still looking at his feet. Jesus even squats down to where she's at, right? Kneels down and starts drawing in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just like, because people that aren't righteous still kill you.
Yeah, right.
There had to be an anointing drop at that moment because there's so many people that get blinded by religious pride that they really think they're righteous in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock's ticking, right?
That's right.
And so Jesus is drawing in the sand. I mean, think about it. Maybe he's just drawing things that they did. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, and what happens is, I mean, we don't know he's drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just waiting. And then the older men, that's what it says. The older men drop their stones first. They take their judge robes off and they put their gavel down. They're going like, I'm not going to do nothing here. I'm not going to do nothing. You know why? Because the longer you live, the more you limp.
Right.
Or the more you realize you limp. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these young whippersnappers in the Lord, that's a southern term for, like, what are you thinking? They just haven't, you know, they have a lot of zeal, but they don't understand yet. It's not applied. There's no application in their life yet. And it's good. Don't ever snuff out zeal. But just brace yourself to be there for them when they experience the reality that they are a fallen man or fallen woman.
Yeah, right.
And they're going like, I can't believe that I thought this thought. You're thinking, oh, my goodness. You can be calm about it.
Right.
You know, because it's really it's a brand new thing to them. I can't believe I thought I was so perfect and now I have all this pride in my life. Well, no, you're just beginning to see the pride in your
life.
Right. We were well aware of it for quite some time, right?
Right, yeah.
And we were just, you know, we understand because, you know, we ourselves are the same. And so the older guys drop their rocks first, but the younger guys are still holding on to the rocks. They're still holding on to the opportunity. Wait a minute. It does say there she's wrong. It does say that she's sin. It does. That's exactly what the law says. And they're pondering back and forth. I think we should take her out. You know, and then I think he begins to write a few more things in the sand. I mean, I don't know what he's writing, but it said something happened. Because they had the second thought, and they began to drop their rocks. And everybody walked away. They were right in saying that the law says she should be stoned. We all should be. Mm-hmm. But now under the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that we can be forgiven instead of being stoned. And so Jesus looks at her after all of her accusers left, and he says, "Where are your accusers?" Mm-hmm. And then he says, "Now go and sin no more."
Right.
He didn't say, "Continue on with what you're doing." Mm-hmm. He said, "Go and sin no more." What does that mean? I mean, this lady had a limp. These other men, young and old, had a limp. Mm-hmm. And those are people you can trust. They've been through something. They understand things. And the naivety, you know, and it's difficult, you know, you can be in a place that you never grow up in God. If you don't have anybody that's speaking into your life, somebody discipling you, you can be 60 years old, 50 years old, but in reality, spiritually, you're probably maybe 3 years old because nobody ever brought you out of the milk of the word. Mm. And you're struggling every single day with elementary things and you're defeated. You know why? Because you haven't matured in the Lord. There's 10,000 teachers and there's very few fathers. We have been dysfunctional in the church. We've been dysfunctional at large, because in America at least, but the world in general, but mm-hmm. definitely America, we're seeing statistics mm-hmm. that prove it. They say 70% of Americans study survey says that the major problem in America is the absence of the father. It's the absence of the father. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what pushed him out or what seduced him out? What's going on? Well, it's because the father's in the church. There's no fathers in the church. I mean, there are fathers in the church. But there's not many fathers in the church. There's a lot of teachers. Let me teach you something. I don't want to hear another teaching right now. I want somebody to mature me. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to teach me to move from that younger person to the older person so that I can be okay with a limp that I have in my life, that I can walk this out and that God loves me in the context of this. You know, help me understand that though men accuse me, Jesus is not my accuser. That Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Help me learn that I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, not a religious figure sitting on some shelf somewhere in my house and a dusty mm-hmm. Bible that 97%, you know, are not even interested in the context of their heart. Where they know, help me, mm-hmm. raise me. Paul said there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers in Christ Jesus. Listen, if we want to see families restored, we want to see marriage get back to where God says it needs to be, that's not going to happen because we have somebody teach us about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen when fathers get the courage to realize we all limp. And it's been the accuser telling you can't be it. And let me tell you, the accuser lines up. It's like, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, this week on VFN TV, you know, by God's grace, that we're going to speak about the accuser. We're going to uncover this accuser. Mm-hmm. Because Satan is the accuser of the brother. He accuses day in and day out. And if you don't understand that, you think actually somebody else is accusing you or God's accusing you and all the different stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's actually his voice in doing that. And the father's coming back. And so men need men. Women need women to be able to raise them up in the Lord to be fathers and mothers in the Lord. It's a family. We're called to be family. And we need fathers and mothers who talk about their limp. Who say, you know, I've been through some stuff. You know, help me know that you're not perfect. You know, I can possibly see that you're not, but you're not explaining to me how you're not.
Right, right.
You know, and because you're, and this is what happens when you try to act religiously perfect, the enemy accuses you to that person, and then that person begins to accept those criticisms and begins to look for all your faults and tries to prove that you're not religiously perfect. And the truth is, that's all Satan's plot altogether. You know, we should have been authentic and transparent. It's time for us. The hope for America is not a man. It's not a woman. Mm-hmm. It's the man, Jesus Christ. We limp. The very fact that we say that we are Christians means that we are sinners. There's no way out of this thing. We're bound for hell. But we found that there's a way to God.
Right.
There's a way to God through his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for us. I mean, that's the whole thing. But the fact to say you're a Christian is not that we can put on a robe and grab a gavel and a stone and start heading out somewhere and fixing to do business like that. The fact that we're a Christian, we admitted that we had to humble ourselves and we had acknowledged that we sinned and that we're hopeless outside of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. But in knowing him, that he empowers us to walk a walk out that we couldn't even walk before through his grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact. And so to jump from saying that, you know, we are Christians and then jump right into, and then I'm your measuring stick. You know, you should live a life like me instead of Jesus Christ being the standard. It's like, where did that come from?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so today, I just want to encourage you today. If you limp, you know, understand that we all limp. We all limp. If you don't limp on the outside, you know, you limp on the inside. And you don't want to blame anybody for your limp. You just want to, I limp. You know, I limp. But it just makes me more dependent on God. It makes me more grateful to the Lord for saving me and loving me.
Amen.
You know, obviously, we have a lot less limps than Pat. But it's encouraging to know when we look and project that we could be like that. No, seriously. Sweetest man you ever want to meet.
Cricket.
It's great.
I love you, man.
There you go, love you, man. Oh, wow. Sacrifice. So the... No, seriously. No, dude, we're always joking about that. Obviously, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Pat's running a near close in the race, and Chris is beating us by the nose.
I did smoke my Bible.
right. He did smoke his Bible. Find out more about that on the View of Ventorch. And so, even see the Bible that he smoked. Come, see the Bible that he smoked. So, the biggest thing you could think about this morning, you know, before we go to this break, I just want to encourage you this morning. Listen. Don't fall captive. Realize when you stand up for God and you say, you know, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to abide with him and I'm going to obey him. And I'm going to believe that he's going to empower me to be a father, a mother, a family, a business owner, an American citizen, you know, that, you know, you're going to have enemies. I mean, the enemy is going to be the ones who want to walk in darkness, the ones who don't want to walk with God. They're not going to tell you, listen, I mean, this is what they, if they really were authentic and transparent, this is what they would say. And we've already talked about this in Proverbs. They would go, listen, you're absolutely right. God is real. Mm-hmm. And he did send his son. And every time I'm around you, all my evilness, all of my dark ways, all that my sin is ever before me. And I feel so convicted when you're around because I realize I'm wrong. All I could think about and hear that I've sinned and I need Jesus. And you are so right in telling me I need the Lord. And I'm just so grateful. You know, they're not going to tell you that. Mm-mm. They're going to say, I hate you. You know, they're going to say, you know, you always, you, and the accuser thing. And the reason why is because they feel like such a sinner in the presence of God. You know why? Because they're just getting in touch with what you already knew. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But the difference is they're saying, I don't want to leave my sin.
Right.
And when you know you're wrong, and you know what the answer is, and you don't choose the answer, you're a miserable person. And you got to blame someone. But this is the big thing. There's a final exam. Every one of us alone will stand before the throne of God, the holy throne of God. So you may live your whole life blaming everybody for your choice to walk in darkness, but guess what? You're going to have to explain that to God. And it's not going to be good if you didn't choose the right answer. The right answer is Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Find out more how we are, some of us, you know, our stories on meetmyfather.org, and maybe that can help you understand. Listen, God, we've all sinned. Every one of us need to drop our rock. Not only are we the religious person holding the rock that we need to drop, but we're also the woman caught in adultery. But all of that was at the feet of Jesus, not just the woman caught in adultery. God loves us all. We were just talking about the awesome grace of God, and that, you know, we are not supposed to be judging our brother. The truth is we should judge ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We should test ourselves. But in regards to our brother and our sister, that we're supposed to let God do that. Which is a great, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you. I mean, you can get different clothes now. You can get rid of your robe. You can, you know, break your gavel and say, you know, God, I'm going to leave this to you. I'm going to leave this to you. And he says this. He says, don't judge anything before it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have judged me before this time, you would have never known this is what I would be doing this.
Mm, right.
Right?
Right.
And understand, you have a shooting story too. I mean, you think about it.
Oh, I do.
No one ever would have thought, right?
That's right.
Right. Now, Pat, we probably would have thought he'd be doing something like that. Does. But you can't judge anything. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with somebody. And you got to give, you know, the kingdom time to grow in one's hearts. And don't judge. Just not our place to judge. He says, you know, whatever mercy you amount of mercy that you give others, that's the amount of mercy that's going to be given to you. Does that mean you don't speak truth? No, of course you speak truth. Does that mean that you don't look at a situation and evaluate it if it's right for you and wrong for you, or if it's you know, right for the church or wrong for the... No. But in regards to an individual, realize there's always hope. There's always hope. And we just speak the truth in love, not in judgment. You know, when we share things with people, you know, you have to share it in a way they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you condemn them when you're sharing it, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
So then that was more of a judgment.
Right.
But if you empathize with them and say, listen, let me tell you about Chris's life. And they go, wow. You know, I'll tell you about my life.
I usually get that effect.
Yeah.
Wow, there is hope for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that encourages them. That's why we write Meet My Father, you know, a few testimonies up to show people to understand this, that God can use you. There's hope.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.